الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madini channel, Alhamdulillah, it's the day of Friday and very shortly the speech will commence, but prior to that let us hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi. It is mentioned in Ibn Majah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, send abundant Salat upon me on Fridays. For it is the day of presence. Angels appear, and whoever recites Salat upon me, his Salat is presented to me. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, إن الله حرم على الأرض أن تأكل أجساد الأنبياء. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden the earth to consume the blessed bodies of the Anbiya, the Prophets ﷺ. فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. So the prophets of Allah are alive and are provided with provision. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Inshallah, the bayan today will be about the blessed journey towards the city of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is a journey that every Muslim, every believer desires to undertake. Every mu'min yearns to visit his master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah we'll hear how our pious predecessors, how our elders rahimahumullahu ta'ala would undertake this journey. What would their mindset be prior to this journey? Or on the way there, or whilst they're in the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Why? Because al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. Blessings lie in following your elders. So inshallah ta'ala, when we hear about these accounts of our pious predecessors and their journey to al-Madinatul Munawwara, inshallah azza wa jal, whenever we get an opportunity to visit the blessed land of Madinah al-Munawwara, then we too shall try and follow in the footsteps of our elders, inshaAllah. So to begin, an account regarding the great Imam, Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. When he undertook his second journey, second pilgrimage for Hajj, whilst in Makkah al-Mukarramah after the Hajj rites, he fell severely ill. He fell severely ill. And the ulama, they said to him, Huzur, you have been to Al-Madinatul Munawwara when you came for the first Hajj. Your situation, your circumstance right now, your illness tells us that if you do not go this time, then you will not be at fault. Meaning, they advised him not to go to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Because remember, in those days, the journey wasn't as smooth as it is nowadays. It didn't take just 7-8 hours. In fact, it would take a lot longer. But Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman was a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that no, the reason for me coming on the pilgrimage in reality is to visit the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, alhamdulillah, Hajj will also be performed in this way. But my maqsood, my purpose is to visit the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama again advised, you're ill, you're very ill, Huzur. And this journey will cause you a lot of hardship. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he was firm in his intention. I am going to Medina al-Munawwara. And he said to the ulama, even if I just reach there, glance at the Rawda Sharif, the blessed resting place of Rasulullah alayhi salam, for a moment, and my soul leaves my body, alhamdulillah, I will consider this as mission accomplished. I will consider to have fulfilled my duty, that I've gone to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, even if I die at that very instance, of glancing at the Rawda Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And as it happened, we know, alhamdulillah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi did visit the city of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala granted him shifa, and it was on this visit where he was blessed with seeing the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam in a physical, wakeful state as well. So, what do we learn from this? Subhanallah, our elders, at all costs, they would try and reach the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had studied the importance of that city, the significance of that city. And how did it gain excellence and virtue? As soon as the Prophet ﷺ placed his blessed feet in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, that city became honorable. That city became enlightened. And they knew anything connected and ascribed, attributed to the beloved Prophet ﷺ is also worthy of respect and honor as well. So they made every attempt to try and reach there as well. Let us hear some fadail of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. These are the same fadail that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma had in mind. These are the same virtues that other ulama and awliya have in mind when they yearn to go to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. The first hadith, Sahih Muslim. The second most authentic book of hadith. The first is Sahih al-Bukhari. And then the second Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Madinatu tanfi an-nasa kama yanfi al-kiru خبث الحديد. Allahu Akbar. Al-Madinah, meaning the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, purifies people as a furnace purifies iron from rust. Subhanallah. This is the city of Madinah al-Munawwara. In Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever comes to visit me, meaning my noble grave, and he comes solely for this purpose, meaning he has no other intention except to visit me, then it is necessary upon me to intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. So if you have a khalis, sincere intention to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your only intention in going to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, then what glad tidings have been given in this narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Listen to another hadith, subhanallah, this is in Dar Qutni. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man hajja فَزَارَ قَبْرِي. Whoever performed Hajj and then visited my noble resting place, my grave, بَعْدَ وَفَاتِ, after I have passed away from the world, after I have departed from the world, veiled myself from the world, فَكَأَنَّمَا زَارَنِي فِي حَيَاتِي. Allahu Akbar. It's as if he came to see me in my lifetime. It's as if he's come to see me whilst I was amongst the people. Fi hayati, that whoever performs Hajj after my apparent demise, then visits my grave, it is as if he has visited me during my lifetime. So why wouldn't a believer be full of yearning, ishtiyaq, full of longing to visit the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Let us hear some more excellences of visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is mentioned in the book Ar-Rawd al-Fa'iq. Muballigh Islam Sheikh Shu'aib Harifish rahmatullahi alayha said that 10 honors will be granted to the visitor of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. Number 1, he will be granted a very high rank. Number 2, he will achieve his aims and objectives. Number 3, his needs will be fulfilled. Number 4, he will be privileged to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 5, he will remain safe and sound from destruction and devastation. Number 6, he will be immune from defects and flaws. Number 7, his troubles will be eased. Number 8, he will be protected from calamities. Number 9, he will have a good return. He will receive a good return in the hereafter. And number 10, he will gain the blessings of the Lord of the East and the West. Now these are sufficient for a believer when he hears about the excellences of visiting Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and he knows these are the things that he will acquire. All the time in his heart he will have this longing. Ya Allah, grant me tawfiq, grant me means, grant me asbab to visit the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As you heard, visiting the Prophet alayhi salam after he has passed away is as if you visited him whilst he was alive. Subhanallah. Let's listen to some more accounts regarding this. But first, before that, a beautiful hadith which is in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends salam upon me, Allah azza wa jal returns my soul to me and I answer his salam. Now here Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi has explained the hadith. And he said what this hadith means is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his grave. And this does not necessitate that each time someone gives salam, the soul is placed into the body and then taken out again. Why? Because at one given moment, there are countless people, thousands of people across the globe who are sending salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that would mean each time, in a second even, the soul is being removed, the soul is being taken out. And that's not what the hadith means. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the soul is permanently within the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And countless times, as I said, thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times, simultaneously even people sending salam upon the Prophet alayhi salam, and he replies to that salam as well. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us listen to the example of a companion radiallahu ta'ala, how he considered the noble grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hold great significance. It's not today only that people yearn to visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara, want to be beside the noble resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen carefully. This is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Marwan was a ruler in the early period of Islam. And he saw somebody, he was going somewhere, he saw somebody placing their forehead on the blessed grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marwan said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you not know what you're doing? And when the person turned to him, he realized that it was none other than Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, the one who hosted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and who is resting today in Istanbul. Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu said, listen to the reply. He said, I have not come to a stone. I have come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, and this is his way of trying to rectify Marwan. He said, do not weep for the deen if qualified and worthy people are in control, are controlling affairs. But weep for the deen if unqualified people become charge of affairs, gain control and become in charge of affairs. So this was the companion Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. He said, I've not come to a lifeless object, I've not come to the stone, I've come to gain blessings from Sahib Mazar, the one who is resting in this grave, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do we learn about the aqeedah? The Sahaba considered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be alive and well in his grave. And they believed he had tasarruf, he had authority given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help people as well. Let us listen to some narrations in this regard, regarding the Anbiya alayhi salam being alive in their graves. The first hadith, Musnad Abi Ya'la. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are alive in their graves, and what do? Yusalluna, they offer salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They perform salah in their graves whilst being alive. And we heard earlier on as well this hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal has preserved the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. The hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, Inna Allah harrama ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya. Indeed, Allah has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. What normally happens is, when a person is buried, slowly but surely, very soon his body decomposes. We know there's insects in the soil, there's other things as well. Illa mashallah, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. But it's seen and it's been observed that a short while later, for example, when there's a flood or something happens that makes the qabr or the person in the grave become apparent, when we see that his kafan, his shroud is also decomposed, is ripped into pieces, his body has decomposed as well. But the Anbiya alayhi salam, look at their shan, look at their rank. The Prophet alayhi salam said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. فَنَبِيُّ hayyun yurzaq. The Prophets of Allah are alive and they are given sustenance as well. This shows that they are no ordinary beings. We are ordinary beings. We are ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Anbiya alayhi salam have a rank beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding as well. So this is a mistake that we should never make, to consider the Anbiya alayhi salam just like us. They are not just like us. They have been given fada'il that we could never comprehend. Going back to the topic, let us listen to an account of another one of our pious predecessors, rahimahullahu ta'ala. What about his andaz, his manner when he went to Al-Madinatul Munawwara? Sheikh Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala. This was a saint who had a very high rank, very high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a contemporary of Ghawthul Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu ta'ala. And he states, he wrote a few couplets when he went to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Listen to these couplets, subhanallah. He said, في حالة البعد روحي كنت أرسلها. From a distance, meaning when I didn't come to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, when I was at home, from a distance I used to send my soul to your blessed court as my substitute. تُقَبِّلُ الْأَرْضَ عَنِّي فَهِيَ نَائِبَتِي. Why would I send my soul? To kiss the blessed mausoleum, to kiss the blessed shrine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now that I'm here physically, listen to what he says. وَهَذِهِ دَوْلَةُ الْأَشْبَاحِ قَدْ حَضَرَتْ فَمْدُدْ يَمِينَكْ كَيْ تَحْوَى بِهَا شَفَتَا. Subhanallah. And now I have had the privilege to come to you physically, therefore extend your blessed hand so that I may kiss it. As the couplet ended, you know what happened? The blessed hand of the Prophet ﷺ emerged from the luminous grave, and Shaykh Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i rahmatullahi alayhi had the honor of kissing the hand of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are accounts that none other than the likes of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, the mujaddid of his time, they have documented in their books. This particular account is mentioned in Al-Hawi Lil-Fatawa of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi. So as believers, we believe in our elders, those high-ranking scholars, the mujaddidun of this ummah. He was a mufassir, muhaddith, faqih, a wali in his own right. Someone who saw the Prophet ﷺ in a physical state more than 70 times. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi. And he is saying this regarding Sheikh Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i, that when he went to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he recited these couplets. He requested, humbly requested the Prophet ﷺ to allow him to kiss his blessed hand. And lo and behold, he was honored with that opportunity as well. He kissed the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again showing that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, their faculties are intact. In fact, they have greater level of understanding and perception than when they were alive. When they were alive, meaning when they were amongst us, the Anbiya alayhi salam, physically, even then they had heightened senses and greater level of faculty than others. But now that they are resting in their noble graves, their faculties have only increased as well. Subhanallah. Let us listen to an account of another one of our saints, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. This particular saint from the subcontinent, and in particular Punjab, Pakistan. He's famously known as Amir-e-Millat, Peer Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And he's also one of the founders who helped and assisted in forming Pakistan as well. Now, Peer Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah, rahmatullahi alayh, he was an Ashiqi Rasul, a great devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he went to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and he found out, he came to know that one of his murids hit or struck a dog of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. His murid, his disciple, caused harm and pain to a dog who was residing in the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When peace said Jamaat al-Isha sab rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi found out about this, he realized that it was one of his disciples, his murids, who had done this. He became restless and he ordered his disciples to find that dog, to locate that dog. Bring that dog to me. And when that dog was presented, peace say Jamaat al-Isha sab rahmatullahi alayhi, a Sayyid, an Alim, one of the greatest scholars of his time, it's mentioned that he stood up and began conversing with the dog. What did he say? Whilst weeping, he said, "O inhabitant of Al-Madinatul Munawwara," meaning the dog who lived in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, "O inhabitant of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive the mistake of my disciple." He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then sent for roasted meat and milk and he fed the dog with his own hands. Meaning, if you think about it, he didn't have to go to this extent. But his love for the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compelled him to do this. When he found out that a murid of his, a disciple of his, had harmed a dog who was living in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he became restless. And he went through all of this. He found that dog, the dog was brought to him, and he apologized to that dog. He presented food to that dog as well. Now here, some people, they may get wasawis, doubts. Well, what's this? It's only a dog. Few points here. Firstly, it's impermissible, haram, forbidden to hurt even an animal unjustly. I mean, you can't just go around hurting animals, they're creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And in fact, think about it. If you hurt a human being, Allah forbid, that human being can go and try and get justice. Go to a court, go to someone in authority and say, "Look, someone, so-and-so has taken my money, so-and-so has usurped my land, so-and-so has done this, and Allah willing, inshallah, he will have a good outcome in the case and he will get his right." But as for an animal, what can an animal do? Who is the animal going to go to complain? He can't even speak our language. So the ulama said, firstly, it's impermissible to strike and hurt a dog or any animal for that matter unjustly, for no reason whatsoever. Secondly, what we learn from this action, this manner of speech, say Jamaat al-Isha sab rahmatullahi alayhi, is that anything connected to the pious people, that also becomes worthy of honor and respect as well. How so? This dog was not an ordinary dog. It wasn't residing anywhere else in the world. It was residing in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, some people might fall into a savage. Well, what do you mean the dog was in the city of the beloved? Alhamdulillah, the Quran guides us. The Ahadith collection contains guidance for us in this regard. Ashabul Kahf, you've heard of the story, a lengthy story in the Quran. There's a whole surah on this, Suratul Kahf. The people of the cave. Who were those people? They were pious awliyaullah, pious men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who migrated. Why? Because their deen was in danger. Where they were? They were in danger in terms of their faith, their iman, so they migrated. They went to this cave. What does the Quranic surah tell us? There was a dog named Qitmir. Qitmir was resting at the entrance of that cave with its paws spread out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the andaz, the manner in which the dog was sitting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and describes the dog. And again, you may think, oh, but this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, anything that becomes connected to the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes worthy of mention. And do you know that the scholars of Islam have said that Qitmir, this dog of the Ashabul Kahf, will enter Jannah in the form of a human being. Will enter Jannah in the form of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. His account is a lengthy account as well. But this dog will enter Jannah. And there's other animals in this regard. In Mir'atul Manajih, it states that Qaswa, the she camel of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will also enter paradise. The she camel of Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam. Naqatullah. Allah has ascribed that she camel to himself. Naqatullah in the Quran. In other books, other animals have been mentioned. The whale in whose stomach Sayyiduna Yunus ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was in, that whale has also been mentioned, other animals as well. So this is why we need to equip ourselves with Islamic knowledge, Sahih Islamic knowledge. We won't end up mocking or joking about such concepts. That here we say Jamaat Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, just to summarize, he was restless and upset that one of his disciples hurt a dog who was residing in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say Jamaat Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi had immense respect for that dog because it was in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the dog was summoned and he asked forgiveness from that dog as well. And these are acts which will lead to reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the intention behind it, anything connected to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is worthy of respect. Subhanallah. Moving on. It's related regarding Mufti Ahmad Ya Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a great scholar of Islam, a mufassir of the Quran as well. He says, when I went for Hajj in 1390 Hijri, about just over 50 years ago, he says that I fell down or I hurt myself somehow, causing my wrist to break. My wrist broke. And he was writing his tafsir in those days as well. And what did I do? When I suffered from that injury, when I was inflicted with that injury, I took my wrist that had broken, I kissed it, and I said, O pain of Medina, stay in my heart as I have found you from the court of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This andaz is unique. You know, our minds don't even go there. When we hear about such waqiyat, we think, subhanallah, our elders were on such a level of devotion towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are rejoicing upon being hurt in the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because that pain was received in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continues, he says that I went to have an x-ray, the doctor x-rayed it and said it's a really bad fracture, you've broken your wrist and you're not going to be able to write or do anything like that. What happened? The next time he went, miraculously, subhanallah, the wrist is healing and he's able to use it as before as well. And the doctor who was in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara said, his name was Dr. Ismail, how did this happen? This is miraculous. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Allah knows best, but what I did was, I went to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I presented my lowly self before the best of creation, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I pleaded, I begged from my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my hand is broken. Oh, the one who joined the broken shin of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Atiq radiallahu anhu, companion of the Prophet ﷺ, whose shin was broken, and the Prophet ﷺ with his blessed saliva, he, subhanallah, placed that saliva on his shin and his shin was healed. He said, oh, the one who joined the broken shin of Abdullah bin Atiq, oh, the one who joined the broken arm of Mu'adh bin Afra, please join my broken hand as well. And he says, this is all I did. What do we learn from this, subhanallah? That when you plead from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly, sincerely, believing that he is al-wasilatul uzma, the greatest intermediary, the greatest wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt you will receive help. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi went on to recite, to read, to write his tafsir as well, subhanallah, his renowned tafsir Naimi. So this was how our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, conducted themselves in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They avoided all forms of disrespect. And what happens today, people go to the city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara without learning the requisite adab. What adab are to be shown there? That the likes of Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, hafidhahullah ta'ala, the founder of Dawud Islami, whenever he goes, he tries his utmost not to even have his back towards the green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Gumbad-e Khazra. This is his andaz, the andaz of the Ushaq. And we need to learn from our elders, rahimahumullah ta'ala, when we are blessed with visiting Al-Madinatul Munawwara, we must ensure that we do not put a foot wrong. Why? The Quran tells us, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That those who even raise their voice in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, They're in danger of having all of their a'mal void, nullified. So this shows how much respect must be shown. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, if we were to begin mentioning their andaz, their manner, their etiquette in the court of Rasulullah alayhi salam, again we'd be here for a very long time. The Sahaba would not even knock the way we knock on the door. They would knock with their nails to create the least amount of sound. They did not want to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way, shape or form. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us associated, affiliated with the ushaq, the lovers, the true devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah jalla wa ala grant us all the honor to visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Al-Makkatul Mukarrama, Zadahum Allahu Sharafan wa Ta'zima, time and time again in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we beg you and we beseech you. Ya Allah, enable us to visit Haramain Sharifain very soon. And Ya Allah, include our names amongst those who will perform Hajj next year. Ameen, bijahin nabiyyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Calling upon you, Allah.